Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to digitalcommerce.com and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's digitalcommerce.com.
You're listening to Hit Publish, where we use content marketing and copywriting techniques to get better results in your online business. I'm Amy Harrison. This week, we're talking about how to use your content and copy techniques to make your reader or customer feel closer to you, your business, and your brand. We're also briefly celebrating the fact that this podcast will be published on Leap Year's Day, our extra day for 4 years. How will you or how did you use your extra day of the year? Thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. Are you ready to reach out to your audience and pull them closer to you and making them feel part of a special family? Let's hit publish. Welcome back, or just welcome if this is your first time here. So today is a very special day if you're listening when this first goes out, because it's February the 29th, a leap year, a whole extra day for you. We won't have this again for another 4 years. Are you celebrating? I know a couple who got married on the 29th, which I thought was a fun idea. So for every 4 years, they only actually had one anniversary for the 29th. I think I'm doing the opposite because I've been married for 3 years, but I swear it feels four times longer than that. Enough frivolities. But do let me know in the comments what you did with your extra day. And speaking of comments, I want to give a little follow-up shout out to Jamie Buckley from wantedhero.com, who's this week's star commenter. Jamie tuned in to hear Kevin Duncan talk about the importance of stories in your content. Do you remember Kevin? He had the fantastic southern accent and is a tremendous blogger. Now, Kevin was a little bit shy about doing the recording, but Jamie here was having none of his bashfulness. Jamie says, "The only one worried about your voice is you, buddy. How many of us will it take to convince you that a southern accent rocks? I can't even claim that. Mine's more of a tired, overweight, wannabe Yoda wise cartoonist writer that rarely makes sense." Grumble. "It's what you get when all your co-workers are fictional. I'm with Amy. I love hearing the voice behind my favourite blog. So, take that." Take that indeed. It was super having Kevin on the show. Last week, we had John Nasta and Andrea Vall. Today, we're going to listen to a good friend of mine, Talia Wolf, about how she approaches her blog strategy to sell consultancy and software services. So stay tuned. Now, would you like to be featured on Hit Publish? Do you have a content marketing or copywriting story to tell? You can email me, hello@writewithinfluence.com, and I'll let you know what subjects we're looking for. Okay, so today we're talking about using copywriting and content techniques to make your readers and customers feel close to you, your brand, and business. But before we do, we've got the word of the week with a twist. So normally I would hide an unusual word in the podcast, but that was becoming too easy for you. So now I'm going to tell you the word, give you three possible meanings. You have to decide which one fits. All will be revealed at the end of the show, and if you get it right, you get 4 Hit Publish points. This week's word is celerity. Celerity. Does this mean A, someone who is almost a celebrity, but not quite? As often heard late night at red carpet events, "So you know who I am, I'm a celerity." Does it mean B, swiftness, speed? Or does it mean C, having lofty or overly ambitious aspirations? All will be revealed later, so don't go anywhere. So first up on today's show then, what's the danger? Why is it important for your audience, your readers, prospects to feel close to you? Well, in marketing, you've probably heard that people buy from businesses they like, know and trust. And that's not just a rule for business. I mean, we make a lot of judgment about who we want to interact with based on whether we like, know or trust them. But being nice, being helpful, trustworthy isn't enough. You've got to make sure you're working hard to communicate that. There are a few techniques that you can drop into your content strategy and copy, and I'm going to go through 4 that I've seen used pretty successfully. Each one is used to build a bridge between you and your customer, and it follows a pattern that goes like this. One, they feel like they know you. Two, they feel like you're both part of a special group. Three, they feel like you really know them. And four, they feel like you are actively interested in them. Number one, having a regular hook. This is all about helping people feel like they know you. So a lot of comedians or talk show hosts have a catchphrase. For example, Joan Rivers used to use, "Can we talk?" as a way of saying to the audience, hey, you know, let's get down to brass tacks, let's not sugarcoat things, can we talk? Now, it turns out she didn't actually realize she was using this so often in her routines until fellow comedian Rodney Dangerfield said, hey, you know, it's like that catchphrase you have, can we talk? This surprised her because she hadn't consciously decided that this was going to be her catchphrase. So why do I use this as an example? I use it because consistency in behavior makes people feel like they know you. Think about it on a friendship level. If you meet someone several times and each time they act slightly different, it's going to make you feel like you don't really understand them. Now, there are plenty of ways you can build consistency in your content, publishing on a regular schedule, but there are other ways too. So John Nasta, who a few weeks back shared his tips for having a great newsletter sign-up page, he talked about how every time on his podcast, he introduces himself as John, but then says, you can call me Johnny. Then, when people go to his sign-up page, they're greeted with a message that says, hi, I'm Johnny. It's subtle, but this little bit of consistency makes people feel like they know this aspect of him, that John is his name, but when you join his inner circle, when you listen to his podcast, when you get his newsletter, you can call him Johnny. So what can you do? It could be as simple as having a regular column in your newsletter, perhaps a weekly question you answer, or maybe you share a photo of where you've been that week. I know a very good marketer who always has a photo in her newsletter of where she's been, whether she's out with her family or at a conference or working with clients. She's got a real loyal following of customers who feel like they know her and where she's been and what she's been up to because of this consistent presence. So that's the first one. How can you have a consistent hook, whether it's something that you always say or a column that you always do to make people feel like they know you? Next up is two, making your customer or reader or listener feel that you are in the same special insider group. So remember when you were a kid, you and your friends decided you were going to have a club and you made badges with your club name, which was usually a combination of everyone's first initial. That's how we used to do things. I was a popular member for clubs like this, but I think it's just because they needed a vowel. That club badge that you would get, that you made out of laminated cardboard, the name was an important part of feeling involved. You shared a title, you understood what it meant, which may not have been immediately apparent to outsiders. Now, this can happen. This kind of language and these titles can evolve often in forums where this develops between people. For example, on the popular website Mumsnet, if you go into the forums, you'll find these abbreviations in forum threads cropping up, beginning with D, so DH, DS, DD. And as an outsider, it can drive a lot of people mad trying to figure out, what does this stand for? It actually stands for dear, as in dear husband, dear son, dear daughter, because quite often the messages and the threads are about their families. So it's easier for them to abbreviate this than to keep typing out husband. And it makes people in the know feel more part of that group. Now, in marketing, this is sometimes used deliberately to build this feeling of solidarity amongst the customer base. Neil Strauss used this effectively. Neil is the author of The Game, which taught guys how to go and pick up women. Personally, I found the whole ethos and philosophy repugnant, but he would pepper his marketing with terms like PUA and PUAs, meaning pickup artist or pickup artist, and SLB or SLBs for scared little boys, as in people who didn't have the guts to try his system. Now, his style is polarizing. I'm not a fan, but I wanted to illustrate how these terms are used deliberately to make people feel close to a brand, to make people feel like they're on the inside, they're part of the family, and it works. So how can you incorporate this into your marketing or copy? It might be that you introduce a label for your audience, like having a club badge. For example, you might be part of my Hit Publish posse, my Hit Publish peeps, my Hit Publish power pack. Don't worry, I'm not going to use any of those anytime soon. Another way to do this is to label or name a process that you and your customers use. For example, Donald Miller, he has developed a marketing and branding process that he calls story branding. It's about telling a great story about your brand. I've seen the process. It's very similar to the hero's journey that we studied at script writing school, and it's great. And he's got this great term for the process, story branding. So the people who go to his classes start applying and using that term in their language. Oh, we need to story brand this new service, or we need to story brand this particular product. And I've got a lot of business friends who use this. And when we talk about story branding something, it's shorthand between us that means we know what we're talking about. I also remember Pamela Wilson used to talk about the rule of two when talking about design. The idea being pick two fonts and two colors and use consistently throughout your marketing materials. It's simple, but because it has this name, the rule of two, rather than just recommending that you do this, it's developing this insider language. That way, readers of Pamela's blog know what the rule of two means when it comes up, and also they can talk about their results from going through the rule of two in their business. So think about giving your processes proprietary names. Can you look at something you do and call it a method or a checklist or a system? If you do, and then refer to this when you write your blog or in your newsletter, it helps people feel closer to you because they've got this insider scoop, this insider language. Now, if you are thinking about creating names and titles to create this club-like feel, remember that you're not looking to create a language that's so difficult to crack that it excludes outsiders. You're aiming to solidify the relationship with your current audience while piquing the curiosity of new members. You're not trying to make new people feel like they will never understand you. Or, as I like to say, what sometimes happens when I go back to visit my East Yorkshire roots. Hello, Auntie Hilda, long time no see. Ah, yeah, you're right. I'm really well, thank you. How have you been? Ah, fair to middling, can't complain this weather though. Been silent down since last Friday, like us on stone flags t'other day. Now then, you come for day, you're a bit twirl, it's all. Your uncle's not here. I tell you, he's a right rum and I could bray him sometimes. Been chowing at me all morning because his kecks weren't clean. Any road, I threatened to fish and chips, so just wait for him to get here and hurry up. Right. Now, if you can translate that, you get 72 hit publish points. Okay, on to tip number three, and this is all about making your customer feel you know them. One way to do this is to use a specific copywriting technique where you sit down and answer the following question. What positive traits does your customer associate with their personality? Because using these throughout your copy says to your customer, look, I know you and I understand that good vision that you have of yourself, and this is exactly why I can help you. The key thing is not to go over the top, but to really think about your customer. So for example, if your audience is business owners, what positive traits do they associate with their personality? Are they determined, ambitious, hardworking? Using these terms in your copywriting is like holding up a mirror to your customer. If they recognize themselves in the copy, they're more likely to be receptive to your offer. If you're trying to attract people to take part in a charity obstacle course, your ideal people may see themselves as adventurous, fun-loving, active, sociable. It sounds simple, and it is, but deceptively so, because it does a couple of things. It encourages you to think about your customer. And when you're describing your customer to them, it also means that the focus of your writing will be on them. For example, rather than say, you know, come to our fun run on Saturday, you might look at your list and say, if you love the adrenaline and excitement of a friendly competitive sport, you'll love our Saturday fun run. It focuses on them in language that they can say, that sounds like me. It's also a good exercise for you to cross-reference with any copy you've already written. Take a list of the terms that describe your customer and then look, are you using them in your copy? If not, weave them in so that your customer knows you know them. Now, this technique has been used in high-pressure sales tactics, so not that you would, but here's a clear illustration, if I can get my words out, of what not to do. And in advance, I want to say I'm only picking this particular product out of personal experience. I'm not condemning it completely. Did you enjoy the presentation?
It was all right. Good buffet, though. This pork pie is amazing.
Yeah, I see you've made plenty use of the refreshments. So would you like to sign up for our Caribbean timeshare?
Nah.
No? Aren't you someone who loves affordable luxury? I'm someone who loves a free buffet.
I'm just kidding. It's just not for me.
So you're a time waster?
No.
No, I didn't think so. You're a good person. Someone who's smart, someone who can spot a good investment. Is that right?
I think so.
Well, if that's true, you'll sign up to our timeshare.
I'm confused. I am all those things, but I just don't want a timeshare.
Look, you're the kind of person who'd let someone down. You'd take advantage of someone. Who would lead someone to believe one thing without ever having the intention to go through with it. That doesn't sound like you, does it?
No, I'm not like that at all.
Then sign up for our timeshare, unless you're a horrible person who wants to have horrible holidays for the rest of your life. If you're basically a loser without dreams or ambitions, you will sign up.
Can I have more buffet if I do? You can have as much buffet as you like.
Obviously, that's over the top. But you can also remind your customer what they don't want to be or what they don't see themselves as. For example, you're not someone who wants to cut corners, you're not looking for a second-rate service. If what you're saying is true and relates to your customer, this can be a very effective strategy. Okay, our final tip is number 4. Highlight your audience members and show that you're really interested in them. Last week, I got a message from Amanda Webb saying she nearly crashed her car when she heard her name mentioned on Hit Publish. I really hope she wasn't driving again this time. Despite risking traffic accidents, I like to highlight you if you get in touch, because I appreciate you giving up your time to tune in. This is something that you can do to show your audience that you have a genuine interest in them. So if someone leaves a blog comment, rather than just reply, why not feature a bit about that person in your next newsletter? If you get a comment on a video or on your podcast, why not mention it in a following show? This is something I used to do with Amy TV. I would go through comments at the end of the videos, because if it's established as a regular section as well, people know to wait until the end for it to show up. And I'll tell you a little bit of a secret about where I got this idea, and this will give you a glimpse into my childhood. When I was little, there was this show called Heartbeat. It was a children's television show all about art, and was spelled H-A-R-T because it was presented by Tony Hart. He was a lovely man and he taught kids how to make arty things. At the end of every show, they had the gallery and it showcased art of children that watched the show. Every episode, I would sit there glued to the screen to see if any of my artwork was featured. But I didn't realize that to be on the show, you had to send something in. I just thought that your teachers or your parents did it for you. So every week I was beyond excited. I thought, this is going to be the week. This is going to be the week that my picture's there. And every week I was duly disappointed. I don't want that to happen to you. So I want you to know that if you'd like a mention on the show or to be featured, all you've got to do is get in touch. All right, now it's time for our Hit Publish Showcase segment. This week, we have Talia Wolf from Conversioner. I met Talia at the Call to Action Conference in Vancouver last year. She specializes in converting leads to sales, particularly in the field of using emotional psychology to sell. Her new product, Banana Splash, lets businesses generate more leads from mobile visitors within just a few clicks. I've had a sneak peek at the software. It's impressive. If you have a high traffic site, if you're not seeing mobile visitors convert, definitely sign up for the free tour. I'll link to her site in the show notes. Here's how Talia uses content for a current agency Conversioner and how she plans to use content to market the brand new product, Banana Splash.
I run two blogs, the Conversioner blog and Banana Splash's blog. Conversioner's blog has been around for about 3.5 years now. And the people who read our articles are mainly interested in strategic conversion optimization. We write a lot about consumer psychology, emotional targeting, and the role that they take in optimizing your site. Banana Splash is, on the other hand, a completely new blog, and it's just getting started. So in the future, I really hope that people read our content to really learn about their mobile visitors better and learn how to convert them. So my goal is definitely going to be to get people to understand how to create a dedicated user experience for mobile and consider their emotional and behavioral needs. regarding content types that work well for me, with conversion, I found that the most engaging and shareable topics are those on consumer psychology and strategic planning. People really like to share those, and they are really interesting. They're usually really long. They have a lot of psychology in them. However, the most commented on and the ones that I get a lot of replies to via email are usually the ones that include examples, guides, and tips. So I tend to do a lot of reviews on websites. So that's kind of a very big one. And I get a lot of comments on that. It's a little too early to know about Banana Splash yet. We've had two posts so far covering mobile strategy and how to build a mobile landing page according to your mobile visitors' needs. So I'll definitely let you know when I find out what's the great content. And when it comes to my future plans, my main future plans are going to be focusing on Banana Splash's content. We're really at the first stage of just identifying our customers better, creating personas, and establishing a content strategy. So I'm definitely looking forward to writing new content and seeing comments and different requests.
So what I love about Talia's blog posts is how detailed they are. There's a lot of research and case studies that she uses, and this does two things. Helps her readers by showing them what's working, so it gives them tips that they can take away and try themselves, but it also shows that as an agency, Conversioner and Talia's team are at the forefront of what's happening. They are experts. So, final thoughts, my question to you. What do you do now to make your readers feel close to your brand? Have you used some of the tips here, or do you plan to start? Let me know in the comment below. Next week, we're looking at launch content. What kind of content can you create and release to build a buzz around your new product or service? We'll also be hearing from Steve Folland in the Hit Publish Showcase segment. He's going to reveal how a simple to do content marketing technique got his new podcast invited to be featured live at the New Media Europe event in London. Definitely tune in for that. Don't forget, if you want one-to-one copywriting or coaching help, I am working with business owners in this way, and you can find out more at harrisonamy.com. If doing it yourself is more your thing, save time, money, and stress levels by visiting writewithinfluence.com and see how the training materials can help you write more persuasive marketing content. Now, the word of the week reveal. Did you guess? Celerity. Is it someone who's almost a celebrity, speedy, or having lofty, ambitious goals? The answer is speedy, as in, she moved with extraordinary celerity from the far end of the room just to reach the buffet. Thank you for being a dapper Hit Publish listener. If you found this useful today, I'd love it if you popped over to iTunes and left a rating and a review. It takes just a few minutes, but if you do, next time you're playing Scrabble, you've got a 67% chance of picking up a Q and a U at the same time. Triple word score. Don't forget, if you'd like to be featured in the Dear Amy column, simply leave a comment on the show page with your question or problem, or email me using hello@writewithinfluence.com. That's all for this week. So until next time, remember to take action and hit publish.